these people. We got to say hi to them. We got to say,
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Save me.
reading from the letter of Peter. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." For it stands in Scripture. To you then who believe, he is precious, but head of the corner, and a stone that makes him stumble, and a rock that makes him fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a loyal, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been with you all this time, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these. Because I am going to the Father, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Stephen said, he knelt down and he cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he died. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a famous rock and roller who said, you don't always get what you want. I'm too young to know who that is, though. I'm not sure exactly who that is. Mick Jagger. Is it Mick Jagger?
Mm-hmm. Great philosopher,
Mick Jagger. That's where I start today's sermon, Mick Jagger. Simon went to the beach for the first time since I saw you last. It was a glorious experience. At first he thought the sand was yucky, and then he loved the sand. He loved getting sort of walking into the water and letting the water splash on him, but that was just about it. Just like Dad. I mean, sort of afraid of the ocean, just enough not to really get into the ocean, but enough to enjoy it. And he was there with his god siblings, and then we were there for a week, and then we left. And it was a long enough trip back that we stopped in Georgia and spent the night, and then did the second half of the leg the next day. But we woke up that morning in Augusta, and Simon goes, beach, ocean? I was, oh man, kid, you don't always get what you want. Right. Oh, gosh. It is our job in the season of Easter to practice resurrection, to be a people of resurrection, which is a resurrection in and of itself is a mission of hope. It is the most glorious part. It is the most wonderful mystery that is part and partial to our famous Christian tradition, to our wonderful Christian tradition. So we are resurrection people. And of course, what that means by definition, to be resurrection people, right? Resurrection involves dying. You don't always get what you want, right? You don't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, says Mick Jagger, you get resurrection. That this is the promise that we live by, that God comes among us. Of course, it's hard for us. It's one thing to say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. It's another thing to be at the foot of the cross with Jesus. It's one thing to say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. It's another thing to let our egos die so that Christ can live through us, right? It's two different things. It's two different things. In the Acts of the Apostles, what we get is the sequel. So Luke, the Gospel of Luke, right, is written, and it tells this story, just a lot like the story that Matthew and Mark and John tell. Luke tells this story, but what some people don't know about the Acts of the Apostles is that it's the continuation. Whoever wrote Luke also wrote Acts, and so it's a part two. And what you would expect in a part two of this story is that, you know, that glory and power and that it's not that you don't get that, but you don't get it the way you expect it. What you get are people who have been transformed by their life and example of Jesus Christ, by the life of Jesus Christ and the example of Jesus Christ and their life with Jesus Christ. People are transformed who become committed to that. Among them are people like Stephen and Peter, right? And Saul, later Paul, right? People who are committed to this thing. And it costs them their very selves. But after those deaths, there is a resurrection. There is something new that comes our way. And so we are invited 2,000 years on, as a people who proclaim this truth of the resurrection, to be resurrected, to practice the resurrection, to be resurrection people, right? And to be resurrection people, to practice resurrection, we have to acknowledge that death is a part of this world too, that death is a part of the equation, right? And it's, if you don't believe it, you know, because in terms of the spiritual story, I don't think that's too far off. I mean, it's a hard thing to get your heart and brain around. It's also hard baked into our ecological reality. So the sun right now is dying. It's burning off. And in that process of dying is providing life to the earth around. It is hard baked. And to go into the forest, and when I was a Boy Scout, I remember, you know, talking about the ecological system of things dying and that death giving rise to some new life that happens there, right? In seminary, I remember talking to one of my friends who from the continent of Africa who spoke about this in her culture, that fire and the burning off means it's a part of the new life process, part of the cycle. And so when the chapel burned at the Virginia Theological Seminary, which, let me just pause and say, it was not my fault. When that happened, and there was all the conflict around that, our friend said, look, fire is a part of new life. It's part of the process. I got hired by Bishop Young, the previous bishop, to be, I'm trying to remember what I was. I was canon missioner for Congregational Vitality. I don't know what I was. Anyway, so part of my job was, there was this living local joining God sort of process that he was deeply committed to and hoped that I would help sort of launch. And we did launch that in several places, and it took new life and it went to wonderful things. But one of the hardest concepts in this program, Living Local Joining God, was the philosophical concept that a lot of people live their lives by the notion that we get some new belief or new idea and our new learning, and based on that new life and that new idea, new belief, new learning, we behave in a different way, right? And it's not that that's not possible, but it's not common. Usually it's the other way around, that we behave in a new way of believing, right? So that we have to adapt new practices, do new things, do different things. And that will instill in our hearts the truth of what we've committed ourselves. So we practice our way into new believing. And what I want to say about the resurrection is that's what we're dealing with here. We have to be people who practice resurrection in a world that's dying. We have to be a people who practice resurrection in a world that's dying. And what's harder, what breaks our hearts, is that we have to be people who practice resurrection in a church that's dying. Not only St. Thaddeus Episcopal Church, but the Episcopal Church, the mainline Christian tradition in the United States and other places in the world, are suffering death throes. That does not mean that there will not be resurrection, right? But we have to live our lives as if that is true in the midst of this dying. And it's hard. It's hard work. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, a Methodist pastor. He's been moved to Knoxville, which is really sad for me because he and I are, you know, in the Methodist church, the bishop just says, you're going here and you got to do that. Methodists. So, I don't know. There's a lot of beauty to that, but he knew it was possible, and so he's going to move to a church in Knoxville, and he and I have become close and shared a lot of things. But I don't know if you know this or not, but the Methodist Church is going through it at the moment. The Holston Conference, which is like, you know, East Tennessee and a little bit of Virginia and Georgia, just had a conference and had their council meeting, and I think it's 260 churches are departing from the Holston Conference, which we think about that. I mean, we've got 50 churches here in the Diocese of East Tennessee. I don't even know what to do with 260 more churches. It's like, but that's not the majority of churches. I'm like, gosh, what is going on with the Methodists? He said, it's because we were on horses, and wherever the horse got tired, we planted a church. All right. But he's in the midst of this. I mean, he's in the midst of this shakeup and this change and having to navigate through that, just like I am, right, in the shift. And we have to figure out how to practice resurrection. And, you know, he said to me something that was really resonant. He said, you know, we're called to be people who believe in the resurrection, who believe in Jesus Christ, in a time where politically what's happened to us is that we are so polarized that we've gotten to the point where each side, it is most important that each side, that the other side loses than that they win. That's where we're at. That people are more committed to, what's the German term? Schadenfreude. Somebody know this term? Anybody know this term? Kelly knows it. What is it? Schadenfreude. No, I'm butchering it up here. Okay. I'm butchering it up here, Emma. Yeah. So this is the concept that we take delight in the suffering of others, of somebody else, right? But that's where sort of our politics have devolved to. That's where we're at, right? How do you practice resurrection in a world like that one? I know that in purview of our lectionary today is not the book of Revelation, but anytime I get a chance to talk about the book of Revelation, I do. So people think that Revelation offers us a vision of the end times. It does not. Revelation instead offers us a vision of the world as it is now, right? And is committed to the idea that if Christ came into the midst of all that conflict and suffered and gave himself over and lived in peace, that's how the cosmic battle with evil is won. That's how. That's what that book is committed to. And the book of Acts is not that much different. I think it was Marcus Borg who joked around and said, Jesus showed up on Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and all of us Christians want him to return on a war horse, right? That's not how that works. Stephen has this really interesting experience in the book of Acts, and, we get the sort of the last little piece of it, and it's even the last 10 verses that we have in the lectionary today are just packed full of stuff. But the saga goes on for chapters, so I just need to tell you a little bit about Stephen. Stephen is kind of the deacon of deacons. He's patron saint of deacons, and in that as now, but especially then, what to be a deacon meant that you were a person called, set aside to serve. Especially food, to serve the hungry, to serve others, to bring the food of the altar into the world. And so Stephen was committed to this, and he was committed to doing this in a way that was just, right? He was committed to doing this in a way that was just and giving equal weight to folks who are considered vulnerable, but not as important as the people who are vulnerable that are a part of our in-group. Does that make sense? So he wanted to give food to widows equally who were Jewish and not Jewish. That's what he was committed to, right? And this was starting to land him in some trouble. And he gets arrested and he's up there in front of the Sanhedrin, which is this council, folks. And he finds himself in front of Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, committed religious folks. And I'll say it like I say every time, that when the Bible, when you're reading the Gospels and in the book of Acts and in the New Testament, when you hear the term Sadducee or Pharisee, you immediately go inward, because these are good religious people who are committed to God, right? And when the Gospels sort of come up against these folks, it is because they've allowed the tradition, the religion, the institution, the constructs of this thing to get in the way of the truth of the thing, right? Which we are notorious for. We are good at that. Allowing the institution, the rules, to get in the way of the truth of resurrection, right? And of course, when you're a part of an institution, if you're going to inspire a lot of people to also sort of follow that, then you got to claim authority. And a lot of that authority gets claimed from God. And Stephen does this thing and he says, look, just so you know, God broke into the world in such a way that if you're a Sadducee or a Pharisee, if you're an or a specific kind of person, a Hellenist who is converting to Judaism, if you're any of these people, God came here on your behalf. God came here in the person of Jesus on all of our behalf. Not just Pharisees, just not just Sadducees, just not just Essenes. And not only that, Stephen takes it a step further. Not only those folks, but also tax collectors and widows and people who are born blind. If you were born blind, or if you were a widow, or if you were born, if you have leprosy, or you have some sort of sickness, sort of a congenital disease in the first century, then that was because some evil that existed there, that you or somebody in your family had invited into your, and we look at this as archaic now, but that's how they thought about it, right? And off. I mean, we believe things like people who suffer from addiction or mental illness, people who suffer in poverty, that this is somehow their fault, right? That they've invited some evil into their life. Evil's going to make its way into our lives. Stephen knows this. And Stephen says, Jesus came for those folks. And the people that hear it, the people that hear that message from Stephen, Sally read it for us, they cover their ears. They cover their ears. They can't take it. They cover their ears. They don't hear the message. Stephen has a vision of the resurrected Jesus at the throne on behalf of all of us, and they cover their ears. And I just wonder, how do we cover our ears in this world? When people speak to us about their experience with God and their commitment to justice, how do we cover our ears? I'm reminded of a story in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Got to get my dates right. March of 1906, a man who worked at a trolley stop named Ed Johnson was arrested. He was arrested because somebody said that he carried a leather strap around, and a white woman had been assaulted, and the person who assaulted her was a person of color with a leather strap. The leather strap was a part of his job. Hundreds of people carried these leather straps around. Ed Johnson wasn't arrested because he did the crime. Ed Johnson was arrested to uphold a system in which white people were more important than black people. That's why Ed Johnson was arrested. And he went on trial here in Chattanooga. And it was a sham trial. And he was convicted. And it was such an egregious miscarriage of justice that the United States Supreme Court, in the first time in its history, intervened and created a stay, put a stay of execution so that they could hear the course, they could hear the facts of the trial, and in doing this, what happened was that, and this is a big deal, it's a part of Chattanooga's history, that for the first time, the Supreme Court was saying that the 14th Amendment, the promises get granted in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution, not only extended to folks from a federal point of view, but if you're in trouble in a state court, you are awarded those protections as well. Right? That was because Ed Johnson was stolen from his jail cell in the middle of the night in March of 1906. He was dragged to the Walnut Street Bridge, and he was hung there. And then he was shot and killed. And the sheriff at the time, the Hamilton County Sheriff, was held in contempt for his lack of protecting Ed Johnson and lack of providing equal justice, equal protection under the law. So the Supreme Court weighed in a state matter. When Stephen dies, he says, God forgive them for this sin. I don't know what it takes to be so committed to resurrection that in the midst of being stoned because of your commitment to Jesus Christ, you would say, forgive them for this sin. I don't know what it takes. I can tell you this. I'm not there yet. Trying. Praying about it every day. Not there yet. Ed Johnson's last words were, I didn't do it. God bless all of you. Ed Johnson had been a Christian all of his life, but he made a specific profession of faith from his jail cell after he was convicted for a crime that he did not do. I think it was Mayor Tim Kelly, that's the current one, right? Yeah, who issued an apology. This is, 2 years ago, I think. And if you go to the Walnut Street Bridge now, there's a memorial there for Ed Johnson and the two men who helped sort of bring his case in front of the Supreme Court. These two people were committed to practicing resurrection in a way that would lead them to believe it. We live in this fractured world, and it's throwing stones at each other. But Jesus came for all of us. Jesus came for the Republicans and the Democrats. It came for the blue-collar folks and the white-collar folks. Jesus broke in onto this world for the drug addicted, for the atheists. Jesus broke into this world for the LGBTQ folks. Jesus Christ broke into this world for the white supremacy folks, for the Proud Boy folks. And it's hard for us. It is hard. Because we are committed that God comes into the world not in this free and open way, but in the way that we, practice every Sunday, right? This is how God comes into the world. Got in trouble and got stoned because he said, that's not right. That's not right. I think that the church survived and Christianity and this promise lives on 2,000 years later because of people like Stephen. I think that Ed Johnson was able to say to the people who were stringing him up, God bless you, because of people like Stephen, who are committed to practicing resurrection so that they can believe it. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able. United in the hope and the joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all those who are in need.
God of rebirth, the good news of your resurrection brings refreshment to a weary world. Following the women at the tomb, empower us to boldly share your radical love through our words and our work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As you breathed your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon all creation. Nourish the earth with sufficient rains. Strengthen us to counter the effects of pollution and destruction. Hear us, O Lord.
Your mercy is great.
You prepare the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equip our community's leaders. Give them a spirit of peace and hearts that burn for justice, that their leadership reflects your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You came among us in unexpected ways. send us to those who hide in fear or question your love. Be a healing presence for any isolated by addiction, incarceration, mental illness, chronic pain, sickness, or grief, especially Ava,
Belinda,
mother of Robert,
Kim,
Belinda,
Harry and Terry, Bob,
Joy,
Julianne,
Kelly,
Cindy,
Debbie,
Randy,
Bill. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence among our journeys. Bless our doubts and questions. Provide trusting and safe relationships for all ages to nurture our connection to you and to one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Resurrecting God, you bring us to new life every day. Thank you for blessing us with companions on our faith journey, especially those who now rest in your love. Strengthen us with eternal peace of your promises. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You get to play one note.
One note.
That's
good. More organ, you say?
Okay.
God's peace.
God's peace.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Is my microphone still on?
It is.
I think I yanked on it, but okay, so it's still working. Great. In May, we've got Pentecost coming up
in a few weeks.
And we will do a lunch that day, a celebration of the church. I think Perry will be here with you that day. So that's a feast day that's coming up. So be prepared for that. When that day rolls around, we're going to make a couple changes to our worship. Nothing big, but just a couple changes. One is, we will begin to pass the plate again, the offertory plate. We will unleash the floodgates of the passing of the peace so that you can actually leave your pews and say peace to people and that sort of thing. And then the oblations will be coming forward. So just a couple of changes that are on the horizon. Really, these are sort of moves back to pre-pandemic ways of worshiping. So just wanted to make you aware of those, that they're on the horizon, that they're coming up. Thank you for our time away. Bill suffered two heart attacks on Tuesday, April the 18th, 17th. Gosh, when's our anniversary? 18th. So happened on April the 18th, 17th, 18th. And he's doing well. He had a procedure the next day to install a stent. It was just a real gift to be. He couldn't be at St. Albans. I was supposed to be here. He couldn't be at St. Albans. So I went to St. Albans that day. And thank you for allowing me to be there with them in the midst of that. Bill comes to the Tuesday night service. So those of you who come to the Tuesday evening services, you get to know and talk and be with Bill. And he plans to be back this coming Tuesday, and will be back at St. Albans next Sunday. So he's doing much better. Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself for us. I'm sorry. Kelly, D. Yes?
Yeah, so just a quick reminder that this is the first Sunday of the month. Please play offering goes to the reference description.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very important.
Thanks.
And something totally different.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, the sign sheet for the food pantry is in the narthex. We really need 3 people a week. We've gotten busy enough now that 2 people is just like, it's hard. Okay. It's really hard dealing out 2 folks. So please pick a sign Saturday, not yesterday. Okay, it's done. Also, we are going to be bringing a load of food on Monday. We should be here about 2 o'clock bringing the crazy stuff. We could always use help unloading.
That's tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Okay.
Tomorrow's
Monday. Yeah, thank you.
The
8th. Thank you. Thanks. And the vestry, just a reminder, the vestry is meeting briefly after this service in the library. Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Oregon.
Oregon.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, your Son,
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, for he is the true Paschal Lamb. who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death. By his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood in the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Stephen, Thaddeus, Ed, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day in Easter and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. hallelujah, go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.